verse 15. Let me just tell you, you are in the right place tonight, guys. I know I tell you this often, but you could do a lot of different things on Wednesday night. You could be watching your favorite program on TV or something like that, but you've chosen God's house, and I promise you, you will be blessed for it, okay? Matthew 7 and verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by these fruits ye shall know them. Last week we looked at verse 13 and 14, and we learned that the true way to God, of course we know is only through Jesus Christ, it's a narrow way. And the false way is a broad way and leads to destruction. The true way is difficult, and it's demanding, and few will find it. And the false way is easy, convenient, and many people will take that route. And we learned all that. Now Jesus addresses the subject of those who would mislead us or mislead people and keep them from finding the narrow path. And so Jesus begins with a warning. He says, beware of false prophets. As long as God has had his prophets, Satan has also had false prophets. It's been that way forever. Moses, all the way back in the book of the law, in the book of Deuteronomy, as Moses was teaching God's people, the Israelites, the law and how they were to honor God with their lives, he cautioned them. And I'm just going to paraphrase. He told them that there would be misleading men that would come. He called them dreamers of dreams, that would come and they would make claims and they would predict certain things. And he even said that some of those things would come true. But then they would also use those signs to urge the people to follow other gods. And then he says, you got to turn away from them. Okay? And so he's saying that they may even have the power or the wisdom or whatever to predict certain things or bring tell of certain signs that are going to come to pass, and they may be fulfilled. But then the test is, do they keep you loyal to God? Do they keep you loving God with all your heart and soul? And that was the purpose of his instruction. The proof of the prophet's credibility was not in their ability to prophesy, but the proof was more so than anything in the message. Did the message turn them to God or keep them turned to God, or did it turn them away? And of course, if it turned them away, then it was a false prophet and we're supposed to be rejected or avoided at all cost, okay? And actually, beyond being avoided or rejected, it actually called for in the law the death penalty. They were supposed to be put to death. Later on, now you got that all the way back in the beginnings of God's covenant relationship with mankind. And then all the way back forward to the days of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus also describes now the last days as a time when false prophets would be many, that they would bring signs and wonders, and those signs and wonders would make them so convincing that even believers could almost be fooled, if it were possible, the scripture says. And so from the beginning of God's redemptive plan all the way to the end of the age, there will be false prophets. So that means there's false prophets today. And the reason for the success of so many false prophets is this: because there's always a demand for them. And why do I say that? Because there are always going to be people that don't like God's plan. It just doesn't fit them. They don't like God's ways. They're not convenient. And so consequently, they're going to look for another option. And as long as there are people looking for options, Satan's going to have a man or perhaps even a woman there to give a different message that's contrary to God's word and provide them with an option. Not a credible option, not an eternal option. Well, it's an eternal one, but it's in the wrong direction. And so I want you, if you will, if you'll turn over to Isaiah chapter 30. I come across this and studying this morning. John MacArthur directed me towards this, and it's I know I've read it because I read my Bible through every year, but I don't remember ever picking up on these verses. It's in Isaiah chapter 30, and I want you to look at verse 9. He says, "This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord." You see, he's talking about his children, okay? "Which say unto the seers," now this is the prophets, "see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things." In other words, you know what they're saying there? Don't tell us the truth. "Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get out of the way, turn aside, out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." Let me just paraphrase all of that, and not because it's I'm more eloquent, but just to clarify. It's literally saying, God's saying, you people, tell the prophets, don't tell us the truth. Tell us lies. Tell us things that are easy to hear. And if you can't do that, then get out of the way, is what the people were saying. If you're not going to be a prophet that tells us the things we want to hear, then just get out of the way. It's hard to imagine such blatant rejection of the truth while you're still being called God's people. It is supposed to know God. But in actuality, you think about it, and you can go back to our text in Matthew chapter 7. When you think about it, we still have this sort of audacity, if you will, today. People still today call themselves Christians, but emphatically reject the teachings of the Word of God. Not just in a passive way, but in a active pursuing of falsehoods, but yet they still say they love God. They still say they belong to God. They may reject the virgin birth. They may reject the deity of Christ altogether. They may reject the second coming. They may be even embrace, they may say, well, they embrace some truths about Jesus, but then they reject God's word when it comes to behaviors or lifestyles and this sort of thing. And I'm going to tell you, folks, the whole embracing of homosexuality that we see today is a case in point. There are so many churches in America today, so-called Bible-believing or Christian churches, who wholeheartedly accept the vile practice of same-sex marriage, and while still claiming to be God's people. All a church has to do is find a man who will stand in the pulpit and declare these falsehoods, and there you got a church. You got a false church. You got a false prophet there. But the market for false prophets is just as strong today as it was in the times we're reading about in Matthew, or the times we read about in Isaiah, or if we were to go all the way back to even when the law first came out. They started chasing false gods very soon thereafter, okay? And so we've always got to be alert. And you guys, when I talk about these subjects like same-sex marriage and homosexuality, you know I'm not a mean person. You know I don't hate anybody. I hate sin because God hates sin, and there are things that just have to be addressed. We've always got to be alert that for the fraud, if you will, that is propagated by false prophets today in Baptist churches and any other flavor of church. You have to be cautious. Listen to these words, okay? I won't ask you to turn there, but this is in Jeremiah chapter 23. And verse 14 says this, and I think he's going to put it on the screen there for a moment there. The Word of God says this, "I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, they walk in lies, they strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof, Gomorrah. Now, we'll look at a couple of verses in just a moment, but see what he's saying there? He's saying these men, these prophets, so-called men of God, encourage those who are walking in sin. They're not in any way trying to help them see their sin or change their evil ways, but they're actually encouraging the behavior that these people are doing. They're embracing it, they're supporting it, and they're encouraging it. Folks, we see this with homosexuality all the time today. I just heard just the other day a girl that grew up in this church right here has been gone for some time that she's now turned gay. And she's the sweetest girl, I think, the world ever. And she doesn't live here anymore. But I thought, you know what? I know because the society we live in where it's applauded, it's almost become popular and in vogue that there are people that would typically not have those leanings or any tendencies towards that, but just simply because it's popular, we'll embrace it and take that easy route. And so I think it interesting here that even here in Jeremiah, he compares those false prophets that are cultivating the evil amongst her people. He compares it to the actions that were taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's exactly what we see today. Verse 16, same chapter, he says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and are not out of the mouth of the Lord." He's saying right there, he says they're making up their own message. They have no interest in the word of God. Don't listen to them. Verse 21, he says, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy." You know what God's saying? He says, "They come in my name, but I don't have anything to do with them. They're not mine, and their message is not mine." Verse 22, "But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings." He's saying, if they were my prophets, if they were my men behind the pulpit, and they had my message, then they would be out there trying to help these people see their sins and cause these people to turn away from their evil actions. And there's the test right there, folks. There are going to be two things that you find and always have in a true man of God. And one is they're commissioned by God, and therefore they're going to have the hand of God upon them. Now that can be construed or misconstrued and misread. Okay, that part of it can be misread. There's a lot of charismatic false prophets that seem to have the hand of God on here. But here's the real test. The second thing a true man of God will have, he will have a message that is God's message. There's where the test is. Okay, no matter whether they seem to have the hand of God on them or not, an anointed man of God will, okay? But others can fool you. But that's what we got to do is take the message and lay it upside God's word. That's the measuring stick. That's the standard. And then we say, oh, no, this guy's not the right guy. Or this guy is the right guy. And so God is a lot of things, but he's not inconsistent. His word, his message does not change. And so if the message of a person is not consistent with God's word, then it's not of God. And if the message is not of God, then the man is not of God. Okay? And so this text, back to our text in chapter 7, begins with one word, beware. Beware. Now, that simply implies that there's something dangerous, that there's something harmful. And that's the thing about false prophets, that's the thing about false teaching, that they're not just wrong, but they're dangerously wrong, you see. That they don't just lead you into harm, they lead you into destruction, okay? They don't just lead to injury, but they lead to annihilation eternally, okay? And so Jesus refers to them here in this particular text as wolves in sheep clothing. In the ancient times, of course, it was there were lots of sheep and shepherds and goats and this sort of thing. And wolves were the most common predator endangering the sheep in those particular times. If a wolf was seen, if you were a shepherd and you had a flock of sheep, if a wolf was seen anywhere near your herd of sheep, you would immediately take action. You would either try to dispose of the wolf, of course, if you could, but if that were not the case, then you would distance your flock as far as you could from that predatory varmint or animal, wolf. And so when the term beware here doesn't imply of, well, oh ho hum, we need to just kind of watch out and be aware. No, it's we see something here, we better take action. We better distance ourselves from this danger and take swift measures to remove this problem and this sort of thing. And so with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close for tonight. The next time we're together, we're going to look at the remainder of these verses. We're going to learn how to be good fruit inspectors, okay? He says you will know them by their fruit. And so we're going to learn to inspect fruit, okay? All right, let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Lord, bless you guys. Please pray for this Sunday's sermon from Brother Chris Fobbs and the missionary that we're going to hear from via video. And it'll be good, okay? Invite somebody and be here yourself, okay? All right, Randy, will you lead us in a word of prayer, please?